Well, I think there's going to be substantial advances across a very broad array of fronts, but really with no one central focus or big breakthrough in sight. On the global economic crisis, certainly the Italians are going to try and advance their desire for a new global code to install a rule of law for moral finance, as they call it. But very few of their partners really share the passion for that. What could be done usefully is on fighting the protectionism that's now broken out with China following the United States into a binational programs that really do threaten to unleash the protectionist spiral that we all remember so badly from the 1930s. On climate change, I think the summit will importantly advance the fundamental new principle that as the world moves to create a climate control regime beyond the Kyoto Protocol, that all of the major carbon-producing powers must commit to controlling their carbon. And that certainly includes the world's number one greenhouse gas emitter now, which is China and not the United States.
You had talked about protectionism, the possible rise of protectionism in trade. Would you explain what that is?
A number of countries have quite predictably moved to confront the global economic and financial crisis they face by resorting to traditional trade protectionism and newer forms of financial and investment protectionism. But it was really the United States with the Buy America Act that moved into comprehensive protectionism. And very recently, we've now seen the People's Republic of China adopt a similar measure of Buy Chinese across their entire economy for their very large stimulus program, too. We are now seeing two of the largest economies and trading powers in the world moving towards comprehensive protectionism. That will make it more likely that the European Union as a whole, which is the largest economy in the world, will follow suit.
Now, of course, the developing world has been hit hard by this economic crisis as well, and they're looking to the G8 to still fulfill their promises that go back to the 2005 Glen Eagles Summit in Scotland. Do you see any chance of that?
I do. The Italians have, from the start, given development an important place at their summit. Understandably, as they really are the G8's frontline state, with Africa right next door, their particular focus has been not only on fulfilling the Glen Eagles commitments to double aid overall by 2010, to double aid to Africa in particular, but also to focus on the particular problem of food security, which is something in which the Italians feel they have great expertise at home. So I think we'll see some moves towards thinking about how to create a global grains reserve to kind of dampen the food crisis we saw at this time last year and which may be coming back. A greater effort to devote a larger share of our diminishing total of official development assistance that's gone to the agricultural sector to bring it back to the levels that it had in the early 1980s. Also to ignite a new green revolution.
Do you think that the issues of Iran and North Korea will dominate this summit and possibly push the issue of developing nations to the side just a bit?
Well, I think the G8 is capable of doing both. And clearly, the G8 leaders will be focusing on the problems of nuclear proliferation, the very clear and present danger from North Korea, with new promises that it's basically committed to becoming a full-scale nuclear weapons state, no matter what the rest of the world does. We've also seen increasingly a similar determination from Iran. The G8, we must always remember, was created as a club to promote the values of open democracy. So now that the people of Iran are showing, if in a limited way, that they too want to join the democratic community, the G8 as an institution is obliged to help as much as they can.